The Wind Through the Keyhole, a Dark Tower novel, is available in hardcover from Scribner. The entire The Dark Tower series is available from Simon & Schuster Audio. Keep listening for a clip from The Dark Tower 7.
Reproduction, revelation, redemption, resumption. Part 1. The Little Red King. Dan Titi. Chapter 1. Callahan and the Vampires. 1. Père Don Callahan had once been the Catholic priest of a town, Salem's Lot had been its name, that no longer existed on any map. He didn't much care. Concepts such as reality had ceased to matter to him. This one-time priest now held a heathen object in his hand, a scrimshaw turtle made of ivory. There was a nick in its beak and a scratch in the shape of a question mark on its back, but otherwise, it was a beautiful thing. Beautiful and powerful. He could feel the power in his hand, like volts. "How lovely it is," he whispered to the boy who stood with him. "Is it the turtle Maturin? It is, isn't it?" The boy was Jake Chambers, and he'd come a long loop in order to return almost to his starting place here in Manhattan. "I don't know," he said. "She calls it the Sholpada, and it may help us, but it can't kill the harriers that are waiting for us in there." He nodded toward the Dixie Pig, wondering if he meant Susanna or Mia when he used that all-purpose feminine pronoun she. Once he would have said it didn't matter because the two women were so tightly wound together. Now, however, he thought it did matter, or would, soon. "Will you?" Jake asked the pair, meaning, "Will you stand? Will you fight? Will you kill?" "Oh, yes," Callahan said calmly. He put the ivory turtle with its wise eyes and scratched back into his breast pocket with the extra shells for the gun he carried, then patted the cunningly made thing once to make sure it rode safely. "I'll shoot until the bullets are gone, and if I run out of bullets before they kill me, I'll club them with the gun butt." The pause was so slight, Jake didn't even notice it. But in that pause, the white spoke to Father Callahan. It was a force he knew of old, even in boyhood. Although there had been a few years of bad faith along the way, years when his understanding of that elemental force had first grown dim and then become lost completely. But those days were gone. The white was his again, and he told God thank you. Jake was nodding, saying something Callahan barely heard. And what Jake said didn't matter. What that other voice said, the voice of something Gan, perhaps too great to be called God, did. "The boy must go on," the voice told him. "Whatever happens here, however it falls, the boy must go on. Your part in the story is almost done. His is not." They walked past a sign on a chrome post, closed for private function. Jake's special friend Oi trotting between them, his head up and his muzzle wreathed in its usual toothy grin. At the top of the steps, Jake reached into the woven sack Susanna Mio had brought out of Calibrin Sturgis and grabbed two of the plates, the risers. He tapped them together, nodded at the dull ringing sound, and then said, "Let's see yours." Callahan lifted the Ruger Jake had brought out of Cala, New York, and now back into it. "Life is a wheel, and we all say thank you." For a moment, the pair held the Ruger's barrel beside his right cheek like a duelist. Then he touched his breast pocket, bulging with shells and with the turtle, the Sholpada. Jake nodded.
"Once we're in, we stay together. Always together, with Oi between. On three. And once we start, we never stop."
"Never stop."
"Right. Are you ready?"
"Yes. God's love on you, boy."
"And on you, pair. One, two, three."
Jake opened the door, and together they went into the dim light and the sweet, tangy smell of roasting meat.